beginning a new series today entitled Encounters with Jesus, where over the next several weeks we're going to be walking through different encounters in the gospel that folks had with Jesus, and how this being the truth today, right, that whenever you encounter, right, Jesus Christ, man, your life is never the same. Whenever you encounter Jesus, your life is never the same. And so we're looking at this first encounter this morning of a man named Zacchaeus. And so Luke chapter 19, if you're there, let me know that you're there by saying there. The verses will be on the screen. I know it's Easter Sunday. We read the resurrection story, you know, during the intro part there. And you're saying, man, we're going through Zacchaeus on resurrection Sunday. We figured we'd mix it up a little bit this morning and begin this new series. But, man, there's a lot of truth here that we can see that will lift up, you know, Jesus' name and hopefully encourage us. And so Luke chapter 19, Jesus is entering into a town, called Jericho. You might have heard of it before. He just got done healing a blind man, right? A guy that was down and out, poor beggar. Down and out, and he gets ready to encounter a man named Zacchaeus that we'll see is up and out. But here's the truth. I'll go ahead and throw this in for no charge. The good news is the Jesus that, I follow and serve, man, he's willing to meet folks that are down and out and up and out and totally change their life and meet them where they are. And so he doesn't show any kind of prejudice in that regard, man. He's willing to meet people where they are and change them. And so this is what we see in Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 1. And we're going to read through verse 10 together. Says this, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was very rich. He was super rich. He oversaw all the tax collectors during that time, which all the tax collectors, you know, during that time were wealthy, but not loved in Jewish culture. You know, they worked for, quote unquote, the man. They worked for the Roman government. So a lot of Jewish folks saw these tax collectors as selling out their own folks. And a lot of times, you know, they would collect the Roman tax, but then they'd end up taking a little bit more for themselves. And Zacchaeus oversaw all those guys. And so, man, he was filthy rich. Look what it says in verse 3. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. I'll go ahead and get real with you. I can relate to Zacchaeus in this regard. You know, I feel like, I'm slightly below average, I like to say, Brother Greg, in terms of height. But my friends that I had growing up, you know, they were all super tall, 6'4" and beyond. And so they always picked on me for my lack of height here in the States. But as a lot of you guys know, I had the privilege of going to Uganda, where my parents are from, last month, and seeing family I'd never met before. And, man, I loved it, loved the food there, loved connecting with family. But one thing I probably loved, if I'm being honest, loved the most, was the fact that I felt like a giant out there. I'm not going to lie to you, man. I felt huge. I felt, man, I was towering over folks, towering over my family, and it was great. And some of you guys may be thinking, hey, ain't no way, Pastor, if you're making that up. Well, I'm glad you're thinking that. I've actually got some photo evidence. Matthew, why don't you show a couple of these photos? That's me and my grandpa there. I'm a little bit taller than him, but still can see over his head. There's me there next to two guys, wearing some traditional garb, but you can see I'm towering over. It's not like I'm standing up on a hill or anything. I'm clearly seeing over them and that other priest that's there. And so those are two photo evidences, right, feeling like Shaq out there, Brother Ben. Man, I felt like I was a lot taller than everybody out there. But all that to say, man, I could relate to Zacchaeus here, man. Short fella, man, trying to see Jesus, trying to see him. Let's continue to read together. Verse 4. So as a result, he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, the religious leaders, whenever they saw it, they all grumbled. Oh, man, he has gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. That was Jesus's MO, by the way, man. He hung out with sinners and tax collectors and folks that were far from the kingdom, the down and outs. And the religious people, man, that were pious, they didn't like that. You know, this is, I'll just go ahead and throw this in for no charge. It's Easter, so I'm just going to go ahead and throw it out. You look more like Jesus whenever you choose to, man, step out, right, and connect with folks that are down and out, that are far from the God, far from God, for the opportunity for them to hear the gospel. You look more like Jesus than a Pharisee in that regard. The issue becomes whenever we become too pious, right, we begin to turn inward and focus on, you know, ourselves and thinking that we're too religious to connect with the outside world. That's when we end up sadly looking more like Pharisees and religious people than we do Christ. I want to look more like Jesus. I don't know about you. I want to look more like him. And so let's be folks that look to connect with the down and out like Jesus did. Verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham." A true son, by the way, of Abraham. He was perhaps a son of Abraham by heritage, but what Jesus is saying here is, no, you're a son of Abraham now by faith, a spiritual son, as Galatians talks about. In verse 10, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." I've entitled the sermon this morning, "Salvation is Here." Salvation is here. We see Zacchaeus, right, come to know Jesus and receive salvation on that day, right? And hey, this morning, if you're far from God, listen, salvation can come to your house today. Those in here who know the Lord, hey, listen, we ought to rejoice because it's Easter, yes, but also because salvation has come to your house. And that ought to lead you to live a life that is different. And so why don't we pray together. God, we love you. God, we thank you that because of Easter weekend, Lord, we can celebrate the fact that we're yours, Lord. God, I pray over these next few moments that you would speak to us, Lord, through this passage. And God, wherever we are today, Lord, I pray that you'd meet us here, Lord. Those that are far from you, Lord, that think that they're close, I pray that you draw them to yourself, Lord. Those that, God, have known you for a long time and, God, have become too familiar with it, I pray that you would draw them close to yourself. Pray that you'd meet us all where we are this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Because of Easter weekend, salvation is available to anyone who chooses to believe. And we see Zacchaeus experience that salvation here. In Luke chapter 19. And so, real quick, I just want to walk through two takeaways, right, on this encounter with Jesus that Zacchaeus had that we can take and apply to our life, right? Really two challenge statements that we see here, two calls to action, if you will, that we can take and apply to our life from this encounter that Zacchaeus had with Jesus. The first takeaway is this morning, right, this challenge. Challenge number one is this. What we see here is we ought to respond to the call to seek the Lord while he may be found. We ought to respond to the call to choose to seek the Lord while he may be found. Zacchaeus found out about Jesus coming to Jericho. And so, man, he made an effort. He made an effort to do whatever he could to be able to see Jesus, to see him, to seek him out. He didn't know how long Jesus was going to stay there. He didn't know how often perhaps Jesus was going to come to Jericho and stay and hang out. So he said, man, here it is. I'm going to make the most of this time and see him. It doesn't matter if I'm, too short to see from the crowd. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a way. I am going to choose to seek him. Here it is. Zacchaeus was intentional about seeing who Jesus was, and he took the necessary steps to make sure he could see him. He did not want to miss Jesus. And so he took initiative to seek him out. Man, and the same truth ought to be in our life right today and moving forward as well, man. That we ought to choose, man, to seek the Lord while he may be found. I love what Isaiah 55:6 says pertaining to this. It says that very thing. "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Listen, we ought to choose to seek him. What does that entail? First and foremost, and we see it with Zacchaeus, it entails a childlike interest. A childlike interest. Zacchaeus, right, displayed this childlike interest in seeing Jesus. And you say, how does it apply to being, you know, childlike? Well, in that time, if you didn't know, right, in Eastern culture, it was very taboo for anybody to run, right? Better yet, a dignified man as Zacchaeus. It says that he sprinted right in front of the people and climbed on this tree, which that was another taboo thing. Zacchaeus was, you know, a dignified chief of tax collectors. And so he decided to throw, you know, aside his dignity, if you will, and climb up this tree so that he could see Jesus. There was a childlike interest in what he wanted to do. And he wanted to see Jesus, man. There was a childlike expression there. Here's the point. Zacchaeus didn't care about his position or the fact that he was dignified in his nature or any of those things. He didn't care about that. All he cared about was seeing Jesus. He didn't care about the customs of the day. All he cared about was seeing him. And listen, we ought to be the same way. Here's the truth of the matter today. There's a lot of folks, right, and maybe you fall into this camp. A lot of folks that miss Jesus, right, because in their mind they're too dignified to seek him out. Hey, there's a lot of folks that miss Jesus, right, because they think the gospel message or who Jesus, you know, what he entails is too simple for them. We know the Bible tells us that we got to have childlike faith in order to receive him, and that very much is the case. And it starts with, right, having childlike interest in him. I love this quote that I read from John Calvin, right, pertaining to interest and curiosity. It says this: curiosity and simplicity are a sort of preparation for faith. For faith. And so for us, man, we ought to be like our children, right, and display this childlike interest and curiosity, man, and let that lead us to seek him. You say, Pastor Irv, I already know him. I already know him. Perhaps it's been a while since you've actually heard from him or sought him out because you've lost that sense of childlike faith. It was a childlike faith that brought you to him, that drew you to him, that led to you receiving him. And it's been a while since, man, you've actually sought his face out because faith to you has become, man, overly philosophical. It's become, you know, overly dogmatic. It's become about a whole bunch of rules instead of choosing, man, to be like a child and run to him. Hey, instead of choosing to have childlike faith, man, I read it in the Word, so, man, I'm going to believe it like a child. Hey, listen, those of us in here who know Jesus, man, hey, we ought to return to childlike faith. That faith that says, hey, listen, God said it. That states it, that ends it, and I'm going to believe it. I'm going to walk in that way. We see Zacchaeus here. He expressed childlike interest. Let me go ahead and say this. I didn't say this earlier, but I'll go ahead and say it. Right? Don't be mistaken, right? Interest does not equal right entrance into the kingdom. Interest does not equate to you being actually in the kingdom. Zacchaeus at this point, right, he was far from God. He had interest in seeing Jesus, but he didn't know him. Don't mistake that. Don't mistake those two things. Right? In order to come to know Jesus, there's got to be a response on your end for you to call on him and to receive him as Savior and Lord. And so, man, we see that Zacchaeus had childlike interest. But secondly, here we see Christ's call. Zacchaeus is on this tree, man. He's in this whole crowd of people. Right? And we see Jesus respond in verse 6, right, by calling Zacchaeus out by name. It's interesting. You wonder, how did Jesus know Zacchaeus' name? Obviously, besides the obvious answer, he's the Son of God, right? He knows all of them. But how do you know his name? His humanity. It's curious to think about, but we see that Jesus called him out. He said, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. Stay at your house today. Jesus knew of Zacchaeus from his reputation as being a chief tax collector and being in some of those rooms with some of the other disciples, right, that probably talked down to Zacchaeus. Like, hey, man, yeah, that short little dude Zacchaeus, that 4'2" dude over there. Listen, we don't hang out with him, man. I know he's Jewish, but, you know, he steals all our money, man. He works for the government. We don't connect with him. Jesus probably knew and heard of Zacchaeus, right, from the reputation that was found in, the Jewish folks, right, having that poor reputation. But here's the thing, Brother Ed, and it's amazing to me. Even though Jesus knew Zacchaeus, man, he still called out to him. He still called out to him. Isn't that amazing? Even though Jesus knew Zacchaeus, he probably knew all the money that Zacchaeus stole. He probably knew all the skeletons in Zacchaeus' closet. Hey, Jesus still called him. Oh, that's good, man. That's good. Hey, in the same way, listen, even though Jesus, man, knows us, all of our flaws, our mess ups, dirty thoughts, dirty words, skeletons in our closet. Even though Jesus knew all of that, man, he still calls us, still invites us to dwell with him. Got me thinking, Brother Cliff, of a buddy of mine I went to seminary with. We connected at orientation. We started talking about sports stuff, and, man, we were best friends right off the bat. We're trying to find, friends. It was in New Orleans, new place, didn't know anybody, and we connected. And got to know him a little bit, and he found out pretty quick that I was a sports nerd. Folks fangirl over, actors, actresses, superheroes, politicians, all this stuff. I fangirl over, sports figures and have my whole life. Well, I got to learn a little bit more about him, and come to find out he and his family are like royalty in Baton Rouge area, which is just west of New Orleans. His dad played in the NFL. Uncle played in the NFL. Grandpa was part of one of the greatest, all-time football teams at LSU history. And he's telling me all these things, and he could probably see my eyes just light up. Like I'm, a little 8-year-old on Christmas, man. I'm spazzing out, And to him, he probably gets that all the time. But I remember he invited me to come and hang out with him on Christmas. He knew that I probably was going to fangirl as soon as I walked into their house, because he had a room, that was set up with, all of his dad's memorabilia, right, signed autographed footballs and jerseys of, famous athletes from Tom Brady to, so on and so forth. He knew I was going to fangirl about all that. Yet he still invited me to come out. And boy, did I fangirl, man. I turned into a sports commentator real fast. I'm asking the dad all the questions, asking his son, all these questions, and I'm pretty sure I embarrassed him and myself during my time out there. And to add on to it, they were, pretty well off, so, man, we ate good, too, and I probably ate all their food while I was there. And so, man, I mean, I probably embarrassed all of them. And still, in light of all that, man, he invited me to come back. Invited me to come back. In light of all that, he invited me to come back. It is amazing that the God of the universe, knowing us and our flaws, our brokenness, all the skeletons in our closet, all the stuff that not even our spouse knows about or our kids know about, knows all of that, yet still invites us to dine with him. Hey, child of God, hey, even though, man, we struggle to sleep, but we know Jesus. All those thoughts that we still have in our head because we're still a part of this old flesh. All the struggles that we have. He still continues to invite us to come back in. It's amazing. It's amazing. We see Christ call Zacchaeus here. Man, to come and dwell with him, man. And I tell you what, on Resurrection Sunday in particular, that ought to cause you to shout, man. That ought to get you excited. God still wants us. Even at our worst, he still wants us. That's amazing. Maybe you're a non-Christian in here, far from God, and you're thinking that you're too far gone to hear or receive Christ's invitation. Man, I'm here to tell you, listen, that's not true. He's still in the business of calling. Jesus is. He's still in the business of calling. And he wants to dwell with you. He wants to meet you. Child of God, maybe you feel like, man, you've messed up too many times in order to run back to the Lord. Hey, here's the good news. Hey, God's right where you left him. And you can run back to him. He wants you. Still inviting you, still calling you. And so, man, let's be folks that respond, to choose to seek the Lord where, you know, while he may be found. Let's choose not to let, you know, insecurity or us being indignant keep us from seeking him with our whole heart. First challenge is to seek the Lord while he may be found. And then second and final challenge, and I'll be done, is this. All right, the second challenge is us answering the call to surrender our life to him. Surrender our life to him. We see Zacchaeus hears this invitation from Jesus, right? It says it in verse 6. Look what it says. Jesus said, hey, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down. I'm going to stay at your house today. It says, he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. Man, he responded immediately. Responded immediately. And we see, right, at the rest of this passage, we see, man, Zacchaeus surrender his life over to the Lord. For those of us in here who don't know Jesus, that is the step for you, to surrender your life to him and his finished work. For those of you in here who do know him, as we know, it is a daily call to surrender to him. We see Zacchaeus do that here. What does that entail? We see, first and foremost, that he received the invitation of Jesus. He received the invitation from him. Zacchaeus could have been, like many are today, that you know, saw Jesus, got in Jesus' purview, Jesus saw him, and could have just been cool with that. He might have heard the invitation, but was content with just being seen by him, or content with just seeing him himself. And that's where many folks are. The equivalent to that is, you know, this reality of just simply being cool with Jesus, or being all right. Like that old song goes, right? Jesus is just all right with me. I'm cool with him. But that's not the call there. Listen, when you encounter Jesus, right, there's a call to respond in surrender. And that first step is receiving the invitation that he gives you to surrender. Receiving the invitation to come and to allow for him to come and dwell within you. Maybe you're in here and you fall victim to that, man. Hey, Jesus is just cool to you. Just cool. He doesn't really impact any of your life. You know, he's called you a couple of times, you know, to surrender to him, but you're just cool with him. And you think that that's enough. Coming to church every now and then is cool. Listen, making sure you don't say any bad words, you know, or even more than that, make sure you do, you know, the whole, whenever you walk in and out of a place, man, you're cool with him. But listen, here's the reality, man. Being cool with Jesus ain't going to get you to heaven. Being cool with Jesus, man, it ain't going to get you into a right relationship with God again. There's a call to surrender to him, and that's what we see Zacchaeus did here. It's more than just gathering some facts about him. It's choosing to receive the invitation he offers to all through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Receiving Christ is the call to repent and trust in him. And we see Zacchaeus do that here. There's action. And we see Zacchaeus respond in that way. And so the question is, have you received the invitation? Person here who doesn't know Christ, hey, if you don't know Christ, man, receive the invitation today. Maybe you're in here and you do know Jesus, man, and maybe he's inviting you to step out, inviting you to make a move, to share that prayer. Hey, have you received it? It's not enough just simply being cool with Jesus, or, you know, and call this to receive the invitation. I love what John 3:16 says, right? We know it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him, right, active, there's a response there, will not perish but have everlasting life. And so have you responded? We see Zacchaeus, man, he receives the invitation. When you heard it and came down and received him joyfully. Secondly, surrendering your life to him looks like this. Running hard for him. Running hard for him. We see evidence of Zacchaeus being a changed man here, don't we? He talks about it. He says, look, Jesus, man, all the folks that I stole, man, hey, I promised to pay him back fourfold, man. Promise to pay him back. We see the evidence of a changed life. Zacchaeus encountered Jesus and his life was changed forever. It was changed forever. And in the same way, whenever we receive Christ Jesus the Lord, man, our life is different. We have a new heart. Doesn't mean that we live sinless, right? Doesn't mean that impeccability is a thing, no. It means that we ought to look to live to sin less. I look to live to glorify him. And we see Zacchaeus speak to that. He says, here's what he said. Listen, I'm going to live a life, Lord, that man, that's all about pursuing you, being all in for you. My life is different, man, so I am all in, surrendering to you. Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7 speaks to that, this idea of running hard after him. It says this, therefore, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught. Abounding in thanksgiving. Man. Listen, surrendering our heart and life to him is making this decision to run hard after him. Being all in. Saying, Jesus, man, you saved me, so now I'm going to choose to live for you. This may sound like elementary type stuff, by the way, but man, it's so easy to forget it. I can testify to that. So easy to make, like I said, our Christian life just simply about philosophy and knowledge and knowing certain things instead of actually, man, putting what we're studying and reading in God's Word and what he's speaking to us, putting it to use, putting it to practice. Yes, we ought to grow right in the knowledge of the Word and knowledge in prayer with him. But it's not just orthodoxy. It's also orthopraxy, right? It's also practicing and living this new life. And so the call for us is to run hard after him. I love this quote that one theologian said in relation to what happened with Zacchaeus in this moment here when he's just being real and honest before the Lord. It says this. Zacchaeus, right, is speaking of giving what is called a thank offering, right, of a changed heart. In Zacchaeus' changed heart, a love for God, right, he now loves him, is all in for him, a love for God, expressed itself in a love for others. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Man, a love for God, man, it expresses itself. And looking to live, to honor the Lord, but also looking to live, to love others. And then thirdly and lastly, right, surrendering to him, it looks like this. Remembering, right, that Jesus is still in the business of saving. Can I get an amen to that? He's still in the business of saving. Jesus added that last part in verse 10 just to remind us. After Zacchaeus shared, he said this. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who were lost. Seek and save the lost. That's what Jesus' ministry on earth was all about. Seeking and saving those that were lost. Bringing those that were far away from God home. Obviously, he died, rose from the grave, and now is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And now, for us that know him, that have experienced him, have encountered him, and our life is different, now it is our call for us to step into those places, right? And to look to share the good news about this Jesus that's willing to seek and save them. Now it's our call, right, to step and to share what Jesus Christ has done for our heart in life and how he's willing to do it for them as well. Willing to do for that person that's down and out. Willing to do the same thing for that person that is up and out. Willing to do it for that person, man, that seems like doesn't want anything to do with God. He's able and willing to do it for that person. The call for us is to respond in that way. We are part of the mission now to let others know that Jesus wants to say them as well. And so, man, we've got to step out and do that. And we do that by remembering that Jesus is still in the business of saving folks. Still in the business of saving. Listen, Zacchaeus encountered Jesus and his life was never the same. Life was never the same. May this Resurrection Sunday, man, we be reminded of that same truth. Man, when we encounter Jesus, our life is totally different. Hey, this isn't, you know, a faith that is meant to be mundane. This isn't a faith that's meant to just be about rote and tradition, man. Hey, because Jesus is alive, man, our faith ought to be active. Man, because we've encountered him, our life is totally different. You know, I got to thinking, Pastor Greg, we don't hear of Zacchaeus after this. It says that Jesus, you know, as folks were around, right, this encounter took place. Jesus began to tell another parable, and he kind of moves on in his ministry. I got to thinking, I wonder how Zacchaeus responded here. His whole life is totally changed. You know, I wonder how he responded or what the difference was in his life. You know, he went from a man that was independent in every single way, right? He had plenty of money, plenty of stuff. He moved from a man that was totally independent to one that was now dependent, having to be dependent on the Lord, right? Because he surrendered to him. Got me thinking about that and got me thinking about this quote that I read in my study that speaks of our faith. And I'm just going to read it for us here. It says this, that God saved me to make me different and has enabled me to walk with him. Without the provision that he gives us, we go nowhere. And so this requires a long walk of faith and dependence on him. We are a new creation, yes, but in him we are still under continual renewal. The moment we forget our continual need for renewal, we slip into the self-delusion of being spiritually independent. And there's nothing that is more devastating for the Christian walk than forgiven sinners who think they can live like saints on autopilot. Independence is not the essence of faith. Rather, humility and dependence are. Independence is not the essence of faith. Rather, humility and dependence are. And that's what we see exhibited in Zacchaeus' life. And I really believe that he continued to walk in that manner. Right? Humbly choosing, man, to surrender to the Lord. Why? How? Man, because he remembered all that God had done for him whenever he received him. Even though, man, he was far from God, God still invited him to come be a part of his life. And so, for the child of God in here, listen, independence is not the essence of our faith. Man, choosing to continue to walk in that same humility that led you to receive Christ and walk in that same dependence that led you to receive him. That's what the essence of our faith is. And so choose to lean in on that this morning. Lean in on that. And for the person that's far from God in here, listen, man, he's still calling. He wants you to be a part of your family. And so choose, man, to respond to the invitation.